building up a generation. Plant seeds for a new foundation. Take you from rags to riches. Right now, gonna build these bridges. Straight facts, cutting through the airwaves. No limit, making gold from your spare change. Cash flow rolling in like a riptide. Let's go, now's the time. You came for the remedy, leaving a legacy. Real money radio, a future you can hold.
Good morning and welcome to Real Money Radio. I'm Tanya Escobel. And I'm here with Roy Matlock.
Roy Matlock right here. Yeah.
There we are. So we were just kind of catching up a little bit since
you've been gone.
I know. I just abandoned you, huh?
Yeah. So it sounds like you had how many years now you guys been together?
Well, I met him. My gosh, I knew you would ask that question.
Yeah. It's been
a total of 36. We were married for 27, and we just renewed our vows.
Yeah. So I saw it on Facebook, and you did that. And then you're a world traveler, and so that's why they had to listen to me the last couple of weeks. So now we got the queen back, and so she can knock it out. So what are we going to do today?
So what I think we should focus on is what we're seeing a lot of Americans that are struggling right now, especially at certain age groups and really the baby boomers, but I do feel like it rolls into other generations too. You've got a lot of money into your home, but you just don't have the cash. So you feel a little cash poor. You're feeling the effects of inflation. You're feeling, you know, now gas prices. And so people are wondering, is there options out there? You try to go get a HELOC or you get these things in the mail. It says you can get pre-approved up to so much. And then once you start looking into them, then maybe you're at 8%, 20%, type of things. So I think people have like really taken care of their credit. They're making their mortgage on time, but they're feeling a little bit stuck. And if you're in the older age group, I feel that they're especially because they are more on a limited budget every single month. So I kind of want to talk about how that impacts and how it affects your retirement. You had a good thing called the retirement squeeze that a lot of them are feeling because you've saved up your life. You've got good equity in your home, but maybe there's a life-changing result that you need to move. I mean, it just happened to me and my husband. He had a massive stroke after a triple bypass and we're a year past that. So now instead of that healing up to a year, it's like, is this life? Like, what does life look like? And obviously a 3-story downtown modern home is probably not what that looks like, right?
Right.
How do we simplify? So I feel like whether it's a life-changing event or just financial constraints, I'm seeing a lot of that. And you're starting to see certain properties for the first time come back up about foreclosures in certain markets too. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's more of the over leveraged client that we're talking about, unlike our retirement. But if our retirement are not educated on what they can do to not feel cash poor, that's what we're here for, is that resource to help give some options. Because I think it's just a lack of education. They've been around for a long time, but even for me in the real estate mortgage business, these are type of loan programs that, you know, I knew about, but how well did I know about
it? And you're talking about really the reverse mortgage, and you know, the name of the reverse mortgage, as you know, is a HECM, which is called a home equity conversion mortgage. And if you think about that word, you know, right now I think the number is almost 70% of the average 65-year-old, their net worth is tied up in their house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you, you know, today I've had conversations, so how much is a lot of money, you know, today? And used to be if you made $100,000, mm-hmm. you were doing great, mm-hmm. all right? And now things are so expensive. So then when you start looking at, and it's also funny, I meet with people and they're like, so now that I'm getting ready to retire, how do I get my money, okay?
Yeah.
And they don't know how, you know, it's like a whole different world of planning when you're in the, from the accumulation stage versus when you're in the income stage or retirement stage. And so, you know, we go through that. I started doing and referring people to the reverse mortgages literally 15 years ago when nobody had a clue and everybody thought, you know, back then some of them were bad, but, you know, it's like, I'm not going to lose my house. And so we might cover some myths on that and then how we use it. But the other side that, you know, that we're seeing, as you know, people that bought on the back end of the interest rates, where rates rose quick, a lot of them are upside down, you know, and so, you know, so it's kind of, tell us what's going on right now, like the Nashville real estate market. I see the listings are probably, was it 11,000 or something like that, I think, is houses on the market. So what's going on that you're seeing that, and what will people need to do, in your opinion, to be able, if they're wanting to move and do stuff?
Yeah, so I think it's kind of twofold. I felt like when those rates kind of went below that 6% mark again, mm-hmm. we saw a little jolt in the industry. And I was just coming from Sumner County of Realtors with a REMAX group that we were doing a training on. And we might touch on that too, because that talks about clients that have a lot of equity and how do they buy a new home. But to stay focused on that, just looking at Sumner County and their numbers, you're looking at 40 plus something day supply that's on the market. One of the positive numbers were how quickly things went under contract, to where for a while we were sitting with inventory and sitting with longer days on the inventory because that buyer just felt it was overpriced. Or
40 days is short.
It is. So yeah. That was kind of a little bit of a positive if you're looking at it. But everything is leading to increased inventory. More inventory is coming up. And I think that's where some of these people that, you know, are at that 3, 3.25, they're getting put into position of whether, again, it's a lifestyle change or children or vice versa, what you're needing to do, upsize or downsize, you know, from them going to like 2.5 to 3.25 to maybe in those mid sixes.
Right.
They're just feeling, I'm going to wait because I feel like they're going to come down. If they're in the fives, we saw the activity. We saw that they were willing to step back in and see what was available. The thing that I try to encourage clients about now is you do have those sellers that are having the homes on the market a little bit longer, and therefore you're getting incentives that you could use to buy that rate down into the fives, and people just don't think about those.
Right.
I just closed on, they weren't first-time home buyers. It was a veteran, actually. It was their second home. I just closed on them, and they were upsizing, and they really couldn't find anything, so they rented for a while. Mm-hmm. And then their lease is coming up end of June, so they were like, let's start looking. We got them into, with the incentives that were negotiated, the realtor did a really good job, negotiated over $15,000 for the buyer. Then we ended up giving $5,000. So that veteran had $20,000 to either
buy down.
He used it however he wants.
Right.
To pay your title insurance, your third party fees, all those things.
Right.
Or to use it as an interest rate buy down. So what we did, because, you know, usually veterans want to come in with no money out of their pocket.
Right.
I think sometimes a lot of veterans, yes, it is a zero down payment, but who's paying the closing costs you're going to inquire? So because of that negotiation, they had the 15 to cover their closing cost, and then they used my 5,000 on a 1-year buy down. So you're looking at their first year interest rate payments, and again, it's tied to credit, different things. Right. But basically, they got over $650 back at the closing table. Their first year is going to be at 5 7/8. Mm-hmm. Now, they will go to 6 7/8 that second year, but they would probably have not gotten $20,000 if the market would have been turned.
So let's talk. A lot of people may not know what a buy down is, and what are the, I would say, the pros and cons of a buy down. So, you know, like I know this, that if you buy down the rate, basically what you're doing is you're paying interest in advance on the front of the mortgage. Would that be a good way of putting it?
Yeah, you're actually using, because only the seller or the lender can pay that prepaid interest for you.
Right.
So it's, if it's negotiated out, like in their case, it really didn't cost them anything.
Right.
Because we were covering it. Yeah.
So when you're doing, when you think about a buy down, so we have what's called a par rate on a mortgage. Mm-hmm. So explain par versus when somebody pays, you know, fees into it to take it down.
So I look at it as three ways. When I say used to, my gosh, probably 8-10 years ago, everyone wanted a par rate. No one's paying points and no one's paying origination fee. That was our market for 20 years. And a par rate just basically means there's no premium to give you a cash credit, and you're not going to pay anything to get below the market rate.
And if you're refinancing, one of the things back when we saw rates dropping, I would tell people that, look, when you refi, one of the big mistakes that people do on a refi back then is they would pay points and pay all this kind of stuff, and they would walk in owing $300 and walk out owing $310, and then they would walk in having 26 years left and walk out having 30 years left. And I would always tell them, look, just do the par rate and walk in owing $300, walk out owing $300, and then the difference that you're saving is the actual money that you see. And then if rates go down again, you didn't have to sit there and say, wow, I just paid 10 grand, you know, to do it. So,
and you never, it's pretty much you wasted that money because you didn't stay there long enough.
Yeah, because your APR, if you on that, if you throw 10 grand into a mortgage and then you sell it two years later, you know, you may be paying 10%, you know, on it. So I was always of the mindset, I would tell people, if you refi, and a lot of people don't realize this, but, you know, you can get a 26-year mortgage, right? You know,
oh, so. Yeah. So. I usually do, I say 25, 20, 15.
Yeah.
But you can do the little terms, so you're not adding anything back in. I usually look at it as not paying discount points and bringing a mortgage payment that you wouldn't have made to the table.
Yeah.
And you get escrow refunds. So you've got, you are going to have some closing costs. And I know there's a lot of advertising about no closing cost on refis, but you got to pay the government somewhere for reporting and those things.
Yeah.
So if, so you do need to keep the cost down. So that's a par rate, a discount point. So I talk about a buy down and discount points two different ways. Discount points means I'm literally doing a permanent discount point. I'm going to spend that $10,000 and pay 2 points on $500,000 loan amount.
And a point is what?
1% of the loan amount.
1%. So $300,000, you pay $3,000 down.
For 1 point.
For 1 point, or 2 points would be $6,000.
Correct. Yeah. So that is a, so in that example, I was saying 500, if they wanted to pay 2 points because they're thinking, well, I want a 5.58 rate versus what the market par is right now at 6.2. Right. But they're spending about $10,000 for that. The things that you have to look at is you are going into a projected interest rate market. I mean, we feel like we are headed that way. A lot of analysts say that. Is it going to drop as soon or as early as we want it to? So why would you gamble knowing you would have to stay in that home for so many years? Because once you spend that 10 grand on a permanent rate buy down and you refi a year from now.
Yeah, you lost it. You lost it. And you know, other than you had a little bit cheaper payment for a year.
Well, you just got the, you know, the flashy benefit. Oh, I'm in the fives now. Yeah, but how much did it cost you to get there, and did it make sense? So that is the permanent. I know we got to take a break, but the buy down that I was talking about for my client, I feel is better in this environment. And we can take a break and talk about that when we come back.
Okay. So you're listening to Real Money Radio. Tanya and I started this just not too long ago. And what we're doing is basically taking everything from personal finance all the way to real estate. And so we'll be right back. Visit realmoneyradio.info if you'd like to reach either one of us. All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. here. I'm with Tanya Escobel. And if you're just tuning in, kind of a new show, Tanya reached out to me several months ago and so let's do something together. We picked up another hour here, and of course she has her show. I have my show, and then we've got this, which we're combining up. And today we're kind of hitting the real estate side, and we're hitting really, you know, what do you do in markets where houses are not selling quite as much, rates are a little bit higher. And when we came out of the break, we were talking about just the how points work and buy downs, and maybe we'll continue on that. So Tanya.
Yeah, so we were talking about just some people when they get caught, if it's a refinance, they're ended up paying all these extra closing costs for discount points. So a discount point is meaning I'm going to pay some money, and it's a percentage of the loan amount. It could be 1 point in this example. So on 500, that would be 5,000 to buy the rate below what the market rate is. But what I was trying to encourage people is, one, don't do that on a refinance. You know, take what we were talking about, the par rate. But also in consumers right now, they're stuck in this, oh, I'm at 6.2. That actual average is like 6.4, 6.6. So again, that's the average. Everyone has different credit, different programs, different types of loans they're doing. So I like to stay on the national averages. And what I'm trying to explain is the client that we just helped, they had $20,000 that if we had a turn in a market and rates come down, that seller would not have been given 15. And more than likely, we don't know if we'd be given 5.
Right.
So what happens is you're in this market where you've got sellers really are motivated to sell. The buyer wants it, but they just can't bridge the payment. So then it's my job as the finance person to come in and say, okay, they really want this house.
Right.
It's a little over what they're comfortable with, even though they qualify. They're right. just conservative. They don't want to go that high. So how can we use financing to put that together? In their case, these clients, they were a veteran, so they ended up coming to closing with over $600 back. They put up $500 earnest money, and they paid $650 for an appraisal. So that's why they were able to get right. a little bit of cash back. Their first year, they're going to start at 5 7/8. Didn't cost them anything to do that.
Right.
And that's what I call the buy down. That's totally different than the discount point analogy right. that we talked about. And the reason I like buy downs is because think of it as your taxes and insurance, what we call an escrow account.
Right.
This is just basically an interest subsidy account. So instead of the example of the permanent buy down, I'm going to take that money and I'm going to give you 5 7/8 for 30 years. But if we come back around a year or 2 years, really less than 7 years and refinance, right. you've lost that money.
Right.
Where the temporary subsidy buy down that I'm talking about, and say you just do a 1 year, if the client wanted to, he could have used more of his $20,000 and could have started his first year at 4 7/8.
Right.
And you can even go all the way down to 3 year yeah. buy downs. And whatever's agreed upon, whether it's a 1 year, 2 year, or a 3 year, that money is collected at closing from the seller and or lender, however they're contributing. Right. And it's just put into a subsidy interest account, and it's going to subsidize your payment. You're going to know exactly what your payment is year one, exactly what it is year two, exactly what it is in year three. So it's not an ARM. There's no prepayment penalty. The beauty of that is what I'm saying is the difference between the discount point is if I refinance in a year from now, whatever is in my subsidy, I don't lose it.
Right.
Like the
right.
permanent discount.
Right.
It gets subtracted from our principal balance. So if we're feeling like we really want this good deal on this house that we might not get if rates come down, but I also want my payments lower, the strategy is negotiate to get closing costs paid by the seller, work with, you know, a great preferred lender, we're local, and let them strategize of how to help you step into that home. And that is a better way to spend the money, because if we come around and refinance, they didn't just have to wait 7 years.
Right. Oh, yeah. And I saw it. All the time. One of the things I would do, you know, I do financial advisory, and a mortgage is part of the deal. I would tell people, if you're refin, the first thing you do is you look at it and you say, well, I owe $267,000 and my principal and interest payment is this, and I've got 25 years and 9 months. Mm-hmm. And then I would tell them, and I had, you know, I did a lot of refis, a mortgage licensed, and I would say, let's first look at it. What would you, if you owe the same amount of money, mm-hmm. so we're getting it at par, mm-hmm. and we have the exact same number of payments left, so if it's 25 years and 9 months, I would calculate what 25 years and 9 months is on a par rate, mm-hmm. and what the payment is, and compare it. So, okay, you're going to save $100 a month. And if you do it like that, especially in a declining interest rate environment, you can refinance
again,
6 months later.
It's usually six months, yeah.
You know, 6 months later, so you can refinance again and do that kind of stuff. And we've seen a little bit of rate reduction recently. So if some of these people are in a house that they've got, you know, a high interest rate, mm-hmm. I mean, are you seeing some refis mm-hmm. now or not?
So when we had that little dip below 6%, we saw some activity.
Yeah.
I've got a client right now that I'm working on that is doing a refinance debt consolidation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good reason. And a lot of people are, again, cash poor. So they've run up their credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time, we had the highest credit card
yeah.
in America's history
yeah.
last
yeah.
year. It was a stat that came on that. And so if you are at a 3.25%, but you're over here $100,000 in credit card debt paying
right.
25%,
right.
please get off the 3.25%.
Right.
Let's use your equity.
Right.
Save your outgoing cash flow and save your money, because that's a lot of interest. You just
right.
get caught up in them. And I share that from experience. Last year with what happened to my husband and going to Omaha and 24/7, you know, therapy care, we
right.
had to lean on credit cards because
right.
I'm 100% commission if I don't go
right,
to work.
Right, right. If you don't go to work, you don't get paid.
Yeah. So we were in that experience. And so even if you pay a little over the minimum, the balance is never going away.
If you pay a minimum payment on a credit card, it's about a 30-year loan.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
And what happens is minimum payments refi every time you pay the payment. I don't know if you knew that, but on a credit card, if you pay it, mm-hmm. you pay the payment,
mm-hmm.
and then what happens is the payment goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And if
mm-hmm.
you never add to it, the next month when you pay the payment goes down. So it refinances for about 30 years.
Oh, like a HELOC.
Every time you pay, it just, the next month, your minimum payment goes down. So the only time you ever pay it off is when you get to the minimum payment required, which is usually $25.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So people will have this stuff forever and ever. And
never, it doesn't go away. It's some things I've learned because my job was, the earner of the family, and he was the CFO. He handled all that. So I haven't paid credit card bills in forever.
Right.
And so here I am trying to figure it out and what we have and what you don't have. And I know we've talked about that on the show too. You never know what life is going to hit you with. Trying to figure out mortgages and insurance on 6 homes and credit cards. I was just like, still going to work and the emotional of it.
Yeah.
So it was really challenging. What I've learned and what's got frustrated me with credit cards is, you'll pay. And then if you've got different, like if you don't know your dates, the fees are ridiculous when they hit you for a late fee. Because I'm thinking mortgage, right? I got a 15 grace period because I'm going 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
No, you don't. I'd be like, I paid that. Why is my balance not going down?
Let me give you another thing I've always told people. It's like, if you don't pay your balance off at the end of the month and you have credit card debt, so what happens when you go to dinner and you get the bill and I don't ever hear this, but the waitress says, would you like to pay cash or would you like to finance it for 30 years, your dinner? Because the interest payment accrues at the moment you purchase. You don't get 30 days if you didn't pay off the bill the month before.
Mm.
So interest accrues from the moment you do it. So you buy your steak and you're like, I think I'll just finance it for 30 years. All right.
Yeah.
And that's the way it works. And so, if you do have the credit cards, one of the things that you can do is set up an automatic payment on your credit card, and it pays your balance off every month.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way, you don't have to worry about it. But yeah, it's pretty interesting. And one of the things I've always done, and when we come back, we can talk more about, what causes maybe some of the stuff that you're talking about. How can you, do smart refi, use smart equity to make things better. I believe that you can consolidate debt. I know Dave Ramsey and I were on the show together for years, and he called it debt consolidation. But, my experience has been that you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what equity lines of credit can be used
for,
but you just got to get on a budget and make things happen. But anyway, we will be right back. This is Real Money Radio. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. I'm here with Tanya Escobel. We have the show together, and you can visit realmoneyradio.info, and you can reach both of us and help you get your money straight. So we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Real Money Radio. I'm Tanya Escobel, sitting here with co-host Roy Matlock Jr., and we are talking about finances, retirement squeeze. Are you feeling it out there? What's the housing trend been doing? One of the things that we want to focus on in this segment, and Roy has tons of experience at this, and is retirees that have all of their money trapped into their home, or most of their money is trapped into their home, whether they want to refinance to get back some of their assets and re-diversify, reinvest, or is it they want to sell and purchase, but they, in their mind, think that the only thing they can do is to pay cash for the home.
Right.
There's diversity that you need to do at retirement age just because you don't want it all sitting in one basket. And if it's sitting in your home, it's free and clear. Yes, it's nice not to have that mortgage payment, but there's a way not to have that mortgage payment and then also have some of that equity that you can diversify and invest in.
Well, the reason that people have equity in their home is they had no choice, all right? And one of the, meaning that if they didn't pay their bill, their payment every month, they would lose their house. And so they ended up doing that, and now they've got equity. They didn't really necessarily plan on it being the way it is. And then you get some real estate appreciation and stuff like that. But the real reason that you've got equity is because you had leverage.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And, if you think about a house, it's a $500,000 house. If you pay cash for it and it appreciates 4%, then that means you got 4%. But if you put $50,000 and it made 4%, you made $20,000 on a $50,000 investment. So you got leverage on your property. So when you're in a house for cash, I see it all the time. People pay their house off, and then they're sitting there like, okay, now that I paid my house off, I don't have access to the money anymore. If I want to get the money, I've got two options. I can borrow it out again, mm-hmm. or I can sell the house typically, or there's one other option now that a lot of people are doing is called a reverse mortgage. Mm-hmm. And so you want to talk about that to start?
Yeah. So the reason I like the reverse mortgage, and you got to realize I've been doing this for 32 years, and I knew about reverse mortgages, but it's one of those things, usually you kind of stay in your specialty, kind of right. Like you got a heart doctor, it's not going to look at long, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? We kind of stay in our lane. And I started seeing, and just my husband's a baby boomer and I'm getting older. And so also seeing inflation high. So I'm starting to go, I need to really study this reverse mortgage.
Right.
Because it could give people some relief that, you know, and when I say relief, I mean, they have good credit, they have good equity, mm-hmm. they're living off of a fixed income. And living off of fixed income when you have a 40-year inflation hit, then that goes back to being cash poor.
Right.
And even if you have a good investment, do you want to start cashing in and get capital gains if you don't need them? No,
right.
Because that's your retirement. You don't really
right.
want to use a lot of your retirement. You wanted to be able to sit with your financial planner and lived on a fixed income. But you have to adjust that when inflation
right.
comes. And maybe that plan was to have that home paid off. But we talked about what if there was something that happened that made that decision no longer possible.
Right.
It just wasn't the best financial sense
right.
in doing that.
So when we talk about, let's talk about reverse mortgages, what they aren't. Okay. So the first one is, do you lose your house?
No.
Okay, so explain how that works.
So it's a non-recourse mortgage, where every other mortgage you get out there
is a recourse,
and you're going to pay it back. So the only way it can be defined as a reverse mortgage, because not only FHA does it, but you've got conventional avenues to do it too.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them will go up to $2 million. So not only did we originally first start kind of with the FHA and the FHA limits come out strong with it, then we moved into, you know, more of the luxury clients
right.
because of the, you know, home prices appreciating and things like that. So it is a lot of myths around it as people let's think talk, that they're going to lose their money.
So let's talk about recourse, non-recourse. Okay. So if I buy a house on a 30-year mortgage and I don't pay the bill, mm-hmm. don't pay the payment, what do?
Mm-hmm.
They have recourse. They mm-hmm. just take my house.
They do.
Right.
Default foreclosed probably
yeah.
in 4 months.
Yeah. So that's what's going to happen. Now, if I have a reverse mortgage, I don't have a payment to pay. Now, I do have to pay the taxes and insurance. Mm-hmm. And in many cases, I'm seeing now that they're even doing some prepay on that. But at that point, what if the mortgage, the house, you have a $500,000 house, and let's say for, depending on your age, you got $200,000,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's paid for and you got $200,000 out.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got $200,000 and now you owe interest on $200,000. What if the $200,000 becomes more, the mortgage is more than the house? What happens?
It's still, there's no recourse to you.
Yeah.
So
you won,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happened is you had a house that was worth $500,000 and something happened in the neighborhood or whatever, and the house didn't appreciate, and the mortgage became more
mm-hmm.
than the house was worth.
You still owe $200,000.
So guess what you did? You beat the mortgage company.
You did.
Yeah, that's it. So
yeah.
that's winning right mm-hmm. there. So if it goes that direction, you had a property that was not appreciating,
mm-hmm.
And you got your cash out of it, and you didn't have to pay back
mm-hmm.
the loss.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and when does the reverse mortgage end?
Whether the home is sold or there is a death.
Yeah. So if I am married and I have, you know, the two of us are, you got to be 63 to get them. And it's right now, 63 or is it?
63 on FHA. The conventional one's 55.
Okay. So now it's gone down. And so what happens is based on my age or my joint age, they're going to give me a piece of my mortgage. So if I've got a $500,000 house, it's paid for, and I want to get cash out of it
mm-hmm.
based on my age, the older I am, the more I can get. The
mm-hmm.
younger I am, the less I can get.
That's correct.
So that's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so what are some examples, and I'll give you some, that you see people, how they're using this.
Okay. So I'll talk about one that I have right now.
Okay.
they went to, they owned their home free and clear, went through a medical emergency. They, and when they own it free and clear, this is like $4.5 million home that they own.
Expensive home.
Yeah. And been in the family for a long time.
Right.
So obviously the medical situation happened. They were in retirement due to private insurance, things like that. They just racked up a lot of insurance bills.
Right.
And so in this particular couple, they were $1.2 million. And when I got the phone call, they did a hard money loan, which you know what a hard money loan is.
Which is called a high interest rate.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get it anywhere else.
It's kind a of private money. Investor out there.
Right.
So I think their rate was somewhere 9.25% or 9.5%.
Plus probably a big closing cost.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when the person called me, they called for their parents. That's usually how that happens.
Right.
Usually the kids are at this point trying to manage and help with the money. What's the best thing to do? And so not only were they stuck with that high payment at that 9.5, 9.25, somewhere around there every single month because
it's
a recourse mortgage.
Yeah.
They had to pay that. Plus, they were still cash poor because they had so much equity still in their home.
Yeah.
So on this, because of the loan amount sizes, we did have to do this one as a conventional. We are in the process of it right now. It's not closed. Because of the uniqueness of the property, it is an out-of-state property, too. So it's very unique. It's a beautiful home. And what they wanted to do was get some equity for lifestyle, for reasons, and then get rid of that
house. Get rid of that 9.5%.
That is correct. And in their particular case, they're getting about $565,000, and they don't have a payment anymore.
Yeah, so they eliminated, you know, for the sake, 10% on $1.2 million. That's $120,000 a year just in interest.
Yes.
Not including. So they're so they got a $10,000 plus per month raise along with another $600,000 in cash, and they're still in their house.
And their rate's going to be, just depending on loan to value because of this size home, we're waiting on our second appraisal to come back, but we're looking at 8.5, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
But for them to get rid of that, not have a payment, plus pull out 560, 580, depending again on what our appraised value is, that they were just like, wow.
So let me give you, I'll give you an example. I've got a client that's been with me for a long, long time, house paid for. And it was more trouble to them. You know, they had some property and it was just, you know, as you get older, it's kind of like, I don't fool with it kind of deal. And it was worth about $800,000. And so they asked me what I thought they ought to do. I said, well, one of the things you could do if you want to downsize is, you know, they went into one of these condo living type spaces, and it was $400,000. So the math was they had no payment on the $800,000, and then they buy something for $400,000, and then that would leave them $400,000 if they pay cash, and they would still have no payment. But rather than that, what we did is we did the same thing. They got about $200,000 on the reverse mortgage and put $200,000 down. So now what they have is a reverse mortgage of $200,000 and $200,000 of their own money. So now they have $600,000 left. And we took the $600,000. And I think at that time we were able to get them a guaranteed lifetime income on an annuity of 7.75%.
Wow.
So they got like, so we took them from an $800,000 house that had no access to it and a pain in the rear, okay, dealing with it, to a $400,000 with no payment and a $600,000 investment. And they had other stuff. I'm not a big annuity guy, but it's one of these deals that if you use it the right way, it makes good sense. And so they got a $600,000 annuity, and they got like $45,000 a year.
Yeah.
Now they got $45,000 a year, no payment, and they got a house. Their worst outcome on the house is they put $200,000 in it, and it doesn't appreciate, and then they owe more than it's worth. The family will still get their investments and everything that they've got other investments when they pass, and they got a guaranteed place to live from now on.
And you know? Even if they pass and that balance is $300,000, they're still only responsible for $200,000.
Well, whatever they owe is it's a normal mortgage. Based,
you're putting your interest on the back.
But if you ended up with a $300,000, $400,000 house and you owed $200,000, and then it appreciated to $600,000, and you owed $300,000, mm-hmm. your family would get the equity. I think they got, a year to mm-hmm. do something, to either mm-hmm. refinance it or sell it. Mm-hmm. And if they're old enough, they mm-hmm. could take it.
Do a reverse mortgage.
Yeah, refi. So anyway, I think
sometimes you get a little bit lost, and maybe we can talk about that.
Right.
Because they're like, okay, all right, there's no recourse on it. But what if about the appreciation, and I'm rolling my interest if I'm choosing not to make a payment? And I think that's where sometimes right. the heirs get lost, and so do right. the clients.
Yeah. I always tell people, you know, a reverse mortgage and annuities and all this kind of stuff, they're there for a reason. They're not for everybody, mm-hmm. But it, you know, it can make sense. So we're going into our last segment. I hope this is being helpful. If you are at or near retirement, this might be another option to talk. You can visit realmoneyradio.info. You can reach Tanya. She's in the mortgage business. You can reach myself. We do financial advisory. We'll be right back. All right, we're going into our final segment. If you're just tuning in, my name is Roy Matlock Jr. I'm here with Tanya Escobel. We co-host Real Money Radio, where we kind of pull real estate and finance and the whole picture into one. And we're talking about, you know, different ways that people can access equity. You know, I've always told all of my clients that, you know, always borrow money when you don't need it. And that's get a home equity line of credit when you're working. And if you've got a bunch of equity, it's like a big emergency fund or an opportunity fund or whatever it may be. And today we're talking about reverse mortgages and how you can use them. And so, Tanya, you've got some examples or different things we talked during the break as it relates to how these mortgages work.
Yeah, so reverse mortgages, I mean, I think if you are in that retirement age, which on the conventional side, it's going to be 55, your best reverse mortgage is going to be at 63, regardless mm-hmm. if it's FHA or conventional. FHA is going to want you at 63. So the older that you get is the more equity that you get right. out of your home. What I like about it is you have the flexibility to pay a mortgage or not pay a mortgage.
Right.
There's no recourse on it. That's a lot of myths that are out there. Right. We were talking too about what if, so if I'm if I get that $200,000 amount and I think in your example, it was $600,000. They bought a $400,000 home, put $200,000 down. Had an extra $200,000 to do an annuity.
Well, they had $800,000.
Okay.
They put $200,000 down.
Okay.
And had no payment, let Freedom up $600,000.
Freedom up $600,000. Okay. Yeah. So they were able to let that additional money make money for them
right.
versus if it was just sitting in their house.
Right.
If they would have paid cash for the house, they wouldn't they would have earnings going forward. So that's what I like about the reverse mortgage. It lets you diversify your investments. Versus it's just sitting in your house. And plus, you get the choice of a payment or not.
Right.
So there's some people.
It's an optional payment mortgage.
You can make a 30-year mortgage. You can pay interest only.
Or
you can make
a
15-year. You can not pay. You can pay $100 if you want.
Yeah, like, whatever you want to do.
Whatever you want to do. So it gives you that flexibility at retirement age and also that diversification that you have. The other thing, it goes off of age. Whoever is the youngest between the married couple, if you are still married, and so that is the benefit that a lot of people don't think about, too, is it's the income. It's not like the traditional way, because a lot of people think, well, I'm not going to qualify debt-to-income ratio-wise.
None of that matters.
Exactly. And so if you're on Social Security, but you've got—
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Matter of fact, if you're on Social Security, you're going to get more money because chances are you're
older. Our annuities older. Or whatever you have. So it's not taking anything from you. If anything, it's adding the flexibility that I feel like— As I'm getting older, there's so many things that I don't have the flexibility to choose from anymore.
Right.
And this gives you the flexibility to choose.
So,
because as you get older, the way you work or however your investments are, so this gives you a way to still maintain a lifestyle. Because if it just sits in your home, it's not growing for
you. Right. I'm going to give you another example that had a client that...
But I know your old friend would disagree with me.
Yeah,
that.
Well, he also tells people to pay off 3% loans, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. So, you know, when you pay your mortgage off, one of the things you can just say to yourself, well, the interest rate that I have on my mortgage is the rate of return that I'm getting on the money that I'm paying down. So if you have a 3% mortgage and you pay down the mortgage, you're getting 3% return. and locking it up. That's dumb. There's no reason to do that. You should never do that. And so what then you look back and you say, well, hold on. Now, why did I do that? That didn't make any sense. You know, I'm getting nothing in return. I could have put it into the market. You know, the stock market's averaged 10% forever. And why am I buying 3% and not having access? And then once people do that, they wake up one day and they're like, hold on a second. I got my house paid for and I can't eat. All right. So I'll give you some examples. One of the examples, I had a client that husband was killed by a drunk driver. All right. And we started looking at how can we delay taxes. All right. So there was a settlement, and then that settlement, they were in a house, and then we were going to have to start pulling from some of the settlement stuff because to be able to pay it. So instead, what we did a reverse mortgage. So then that cash flow wasn't needed, all right, which also allowed us to delay pulling on the IRA. And by delay pulling on the IRA, we also it didn't cause Social Security to get taxed. All right. So it was like a combination. The reverse mortgage kept her from having to pull money out of her IRA, thus pay taxes. The income that she would have received would have thrown her Social Security into being taxed. And so, long story short, we did that. And I don't remember if she's ever paid any taxes. Okay. Wow. This has been 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And because we kept the income down to where Social Security never got hit, that kind of thing. I'll give you another example on a reverse. And I always tell people this, that, you know, if you buy an annuity, an income annuity, what happens is they guarantee you a lifetime income for as long as you live. So if you live like my mother to 102, you would have beat the insurance company. And so when you buy one of those annuities, what we do is we put a portion of the money in there with the intention that it's gone. All right. And what you want to do is you want to outlive the money and then you beat the insurance company. If you don't outlive the money, there's money left. It goes to your family. But what you're doing is you're buying insurance on longevity. So if you live too long. And so I say the same thing with a reverse mortgage. You know, if you go in and do a reverse mortgage, you get your equity out. And if the reverse mortgage is larger than your home value, then you beat the mortgage company.
The mortgage company.
So then that allows you, by doing those kind of things, we'll use that. I had one example of a client. They didn't plan well. They had $2,600 a month between the two of them in Social Security. They had nothing saved, all right? But they had a house that was had a little, like $70,000 on the house. So we did a reverse mortgage and got about almost $200,000 out. We eliminated $1,200 a month on the payment, and then we took the difference and got them another like $800 a month. So it was like a $2,000 turnaround. And the other thing that I was looking at is if something happened to either one of them, they would have lost $900 a month in Social Security, which would have, I mean, it was like a, you know, getting them to a net of 46, the equivalent like $4,600 a month versus $2,700 a month with a payment. So
I think something we should talk about on the show, I know we're on our last segment now, but health insurance. I know that's a big thing that's out there, and with disability and things like that, that you're like, I mean, unfortunately she lost her spouse, but sometimes there's so many that, you know, have disability, and just navigating the health insurance world. When you think you're all protected this whole time with your policy, with your company or wherever you're working. I know that just there's different things you can do to be better prepared for those. So I think that would be good to talk about as well. Because we don't want all the medical bills taking your wealth either.
So I call it defense. And so the defense is we protect our income and we protect our assets. And health insurance is an asset protection, is what it is. Bankruptcies happen because people have that. And so if you think about, you know, I had, interesting enough, I had a call today from one of my clients that went from working for a big company and provided health insurance not only for the husband but also the kids, and went out and never priced it. And when they started, the health insurance was $2,500 a month for that. And so I went in, and we're not going to have time today to really get into this, but we can talk about, we went into a health share and cut it to $850 a month.
Yeah.
And back in the early days when I was new, I've always been self-employed, so I've always bought my health insurance. You can walk into any place, labor and delivery, and negotiate a cash price. And I did that with my 34-year-old daughter. And it's amazing what they'll do. But we're out of time is what is happening. So
you want to next show.
Yeah. You want to close us out here?
All right. I'll close us out. Thank you so much for tuning in to Real Money Radio. If you'd like to get some more information, go to realmoneyradio.info. We are here to help advise you when it comes to retirement, getting out of that retirement squeeze, and giving you some options, even if it's real estate that's part of that retirement, and looking at the reverse mortgage to see if that could be a benefit for you. Give us a call, go online, realmoneyradio.info, and be sure and tune in next Sunday from 11 to noon right here on Super Talk.